Derbyshire Clinical Commissioning Groups, Raising Awareness of the Mental Capacity Act and the Deprivation of Liberty Safeguards. Mental Capacity and How to Assess It. What is mental capacity? Mental capacity is the ability to make a decision. Always assume that a person aged 16 years or older has capacity to make a particular decision at the time it needs to be made. This is the first of five principles in the Mental Capacity Act 2005. The only way to displace this assumption is by carrying out a two-stage test for assessing capacity set out in the Act. The burden of proof is upon you as the assessor. You must prove that a person lacks capacity, rather than the person prove that he has capacity. A person may need support to make a decision or to communicate it. This does not mean that he lacks capacity. If you are satisfied a person is able to make the decision with support, that is sufficient to demonstrate capacity. What do we mean by lack of capacity? A person lacks capacity if it is shown that he has an impairment or disturbance that affects the way his mind or brain works, and the impairment means he is unable to make a particular decision when it needs to be made. This is the two-stage test. Examples of impairment or disturbance include dementia, significant learning disabilities, brain injury, concussion following a head injury, brain tumour, the effects of a stroke, conditions that cause confusion, drowsiness or loss of consciousness, neurological disorder, mental illness, delirium, and the effects of drug or alcohol use. The impairment or disturbance must be the cause of a person's inability to make the decision. You cannot assume that it is responsible. It must be shown to be the cause, and your assessment must clearly record that you consider this to be the case. The impairment may be temporary or permanent. A person can lack capacity to make a decision at the time it needs to be made, even if the loss of capacity is partial, temporary, and fluctuates over time. If this is the case, consider postponing the assessment. Is it likely that the person may regain capacity to make the decision in the future, and can the decision wait until then? Your assessment of a person's capacity must be based upon his ability to make a particular decision at the time it needs to be made. It is not based upon a person's ability to make decisions in general. A person may have capacity in some matters, but not others, or at one time, but not another. Next, we will consider how to determine whether a person has the ability to make a decision. A person is considered unable to make a particular decision at a specific time if he cannot do any one of the following four things. Firstly, he must be able to understand information relevant to the decision. Secondly, he must be able to retain it long enough to make the decision. Thirdly, he must be able to weigh the information. And fourthly, he must be able to communicate his decision, whether by speech, sign language, or other means. Looking at the first element, what must a person be able to understand? It is not necessary for the person to be able to understand every detail about the decision, just the important facts. You must be clear about the decision you want him to make and the information relevant to it. He only needs to understand the important points. Identify the specific decision you are asking the person to make, provide the relevant information, and outline the options. Do not assess the person's understanding before he has been given the information that is important to the decision, and ensure you provide it in the most appropriate way. The level of understanding required must not be set too high. For proposed medical treatment, does the person have a broad understanding of the nature of the decision, likely risks and benefits of each option, and the consequences of making no decision? Do not confuse vacillation, indecision, avoidance, or a difference in values with incapacity. Remember, the quality of the decision does not matter. The second element to consider is the person's ability to retain the information. There are two aspects to consider. Firstly, decide whether the person is able to retain relevant information long enough to make the decision, even if it is only for a short period of time. And secondly, use strategies to help him, such as notebooks or visual aids, and monitor his retentive abilities during your assessment. The third element to consider is the person's ability to use or weigh the information. This looks at the person's ability to engage in the decision-making process, to be able to appreciate the various parts of the argument and relate these to one another. Someone may be able to understand relevant information, but an impairment or a disturbance may prevent him from using it. Or an impairment may lead the person towards a decision without him really understanding or using the information he has been given. When assessing the person's ability to use or weigh information, reflect upon the following. How does the person weigh information as part of the process of arriving at a decision? If there are alternatives, how does he determine the likely consequences, including the consequences of making no decision at all? The final element to consider is the person's ability to communicate. If someone cannot communicate his decision, for example, if the person is unconscious or in a coma, the Act says he should be treated as unable to make that decision. However, the blink of an eye or a squeeze of a hand to signify yes or no is a sufficient form of communication. You must take all possible steps to help the person to convey his decision. Reproduce, as far as possible, the manner by which the person communicates. Provide necessary aids and enlist the support of others who may assist. What should you do if a person makes a decision that you think is unwise? The third principle of the Act states that a person is not to be treated as unable to make a decision merely because he makes a decision that you consider unwise. It is important to recognize the difference between an unwise decision and a decision based upon a lack of understanding of risks or an inability to assess information. Finally, we will consider the features of a good capacity assessment. Be clear about the decision you are asking the person to make and the relevant information. Reflect upon the five principles and always begin with the assumption of capacity in adults. Provide the person with help and support to make his own decision. He is not to be treated as unable to make a decision unless all attempts to help him have been unsuccessful. Record the efforts you have made. If the person makes a decision that you think is unwise, consider whether this is the result of an inability to make the decision or simply due to a difference in values. Provide the important details before assessing capacity. If there are choices, inform him about the options. Your assessment must include evidence of your conclusions in regard to the following: the presence of an impairment or disturbance, and whether this is temporary or permanent. Whether the impairment or disturbance is the cause of an inability to make the decision. The person's ability to understand, retain, and use relevant information. And the person's ability to communicate his decision. Your conclusion must be on a balance of probabilities, meaning more likely than not. Document your findings clearly. If you conclude a person lacks capacity to make a specific decision, your record is evidence of your reasonable belief.